Jerry, beginning on the top of Pam without the three lines down, I'm a Republic. Republic's coming to reconcile everything we put together until now. The decision that the machloki between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbonon revolves around the issue of whether you say mixatasseh is enough or whether we don't say mixatseh. But they both agree we are choshesh misafek for zera'av. So then the Gemara now said that that is the machloki between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. What Rabbi Papa wants to do is go back now and look at the three different inyonim that we dealt with and see how that fits in. If you remember, we had the bright of Tanrabanan, Otove Beno, Noheg Bikil Ayim Ubikoi. So they believe that it applies both to Kilayim and Akoi. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer said, Kilayim Abamin Ezim in Rachel, Otove Beno, Noheg Bo. It does apply to Kilayim, but by Akoi, that is not the case. By Koi, Ein Otove Beno, Noheg Bo. That's one machloket, which is with regards to Otove Beno, whether Koi is problematic, which is the Rabbanon, where it's not problematic, which is the view of Rabbi Eliezer. The second thing we saw was a Mishnah from Bikurim that's brought in the Gemara in Beitza about Koi, Ein Shochatim Otov Yom Tov, and how that Shech the Koi on Yom Tov. And then the third thing we brought was a Braita about Matanot Kununa, which are the Zeroa, Lechaim, and Keba. So again, there the Chachamim, the Rabbanon say, Noagim Bekoi Ubikilayim, whereas Rabbi Eliezer believes that by Kilayim, you're chayav matanot, but by koi, you are patur min matanot. So what we need is, in all three of those scenarios, to now explain the positions of the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. And that's what Rav Papa is setting out to do. Amar Rav Papa, hilkach. Therefore, the inyan kisui adam umatanot, when it comes to kisui adam umatanot, lo mishkachat ela vitzvi haba alataisha. It's only the case when you have a hart, a male deer, that is mating with the tayasha, a doe, a female goat. The ben the rabbonon, ben the Rabbi Eliezer. According to both of them, and this was the conclusion we had in yesterday's daf, misapkluhu ichoshin zerav olo. They both agree that we don't know whether we're choshesh to zerav or not choshesh to zerav, so that suffix can exist. Become miflagay, and they argue, eseh vafilu miktatseh. And their argument is about whether having any semblance of a seh is enough to make you either chayav or patur in these situations. Right, so let's go through these two, and then we'll work on Otove Beno, which is the last of them. So in terms of the matanot, the behemot are chayavot in matanot, the Zerah, the Chaim, and Keba. If you're a chayah, then you are pturah from the matanot. So now, in a situation where you have kilayim, which they define as a ez and a rachel, a goat and a sheep getting together, in that situation, mimonofshoch, you are chayav, because the offspring, no matter whether it follows the mother, the father, or both, it doesn't matter, you're a behema. So for sure, you're chayav in matanot, and that's why Rabbi Eliezer says, I agree by kilayim, that you are chayav in matanot, just like the chamim or the rabbonon say. The question comes by the koi, and again, the koi can be manifest in two ways. It can be that the male is a deer, and the female is a goat, or it can be vice versa, that the male is a goat, and the female is a deer. So what Rav Papa suggests over here is it only works if the father is a deer, and the mother is a tayasha, the mother is a goat. Because in that situation, according to the Chachamim, you're chayav in half the matanot, mimonofshach. Again, this is what we ended up with yesterday in Rashi's view, which is that you have two options over here. One option is that it only goes after the mother. If it goes after the mother, who's a tayasha, then you're chayav in all matanot. 100% chayav in matanot, because the mother is a behema, and if the offspring is determined by the mother, then you're for sure chayav in matanot. The other possibility is that choshishin zera'av, that we worry about the father being contributory to this halakhically. And therefore now the father who's a tzvi, who's patur mematanot, is also a contributor. But we have the principle that even though it's not a full set, mixadaseh is enough to make you chayav. In that situation where you're getting 50% from a tzvi, 50% from a tayasha, we're going to say that you're chayav in 50% of the matanot. Because half of the offspring is from a tzvi that is patur, half of it's from the mother, a tayasha, that is chayevet. You put those together, 50-50. So 50% of the matzanot belong to the Kohen because of the Behema side. 50% you keep because of the Chaya side. So therefore, Mimonofshach, you are Chaya 50% of the matzanot. Because in either two of the scenarios, according to the Chachamim, you're chayav in matanot. In one case, 100%. In one case, 50%. So for the 50%, you have to give it to the Kohen, because you're for sure chayav no matter what two options you pick. In the case that it's the mother that is a tayasha alone, is the contributor to the child's makeup, then in that case, you would be chayav 100%. That's only if we say, ein choshashim lezerav. So what you say to the Kohen is, amotzi mechavero alav araya. 50% of this is at risk, or we don't know. It's a fake. If you can prove to me, in Koshin Zerab, it's yours. But since you can't prove that to me, so I keep it. So 50% goes to the queen, you keep 50%, and that's Chayav. The Chayav of the Chachamim in that Braita means that you're Chayav 50%. On the other hand, for Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to be Patur in this case. Because in this scenario that it is the mother that is the only thing that matters, that's a tayasha, you're chayav 100% in the matanot over here. On the other hand, if choshishin lezera'av, we worry about the father's contribution, then you're 50% svi, 50% tayasha. In that case, you'd be chayav nothing according to Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer believes, mixed aseh is not considered like aseh. When you only have partial seh in you, you're patur from matanot, there is no din of matanot. So now you have two options. Either it's a full-fledged beima and you're chayav 100%, or it's a mixed between a beima and a chaya and you're patur on 0%. Safek between 0 and 100, hamotzi mechavero alav araya, and you get nothing, the coin gets nothing, and that's why you are patur. So that's the view of Rav Popo explained to us by matanot. It has to be the case of a tzvi about hayasha. Because if it was the other way around, which is that it was a tayash haba al tzviya, it was a goat that mated with a female deer, then you would have patur according to both the Rabbonon and according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, either the mother is a tzvia, that's 100%, and therefore you're patur because the mother is a chaya, or the possibility is that the father matters and you're a mixed breed. And according to him, a mixed breed, in that situation, both contribute is zero. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's nothing to do. According to the Chachamim, you have one possibility, which is that the mother is the only thing that matters, and you'd be patur the gamrei, zero. The other possibility is that it's a tayash about tzvia, and you'll be 50% father, 50% mother, so you're 50% chayav in the matanot. So your options are, you owe nothing, or you owe 50%. There, I'm motzi mechavero alav araya. Prove to me that I'm chayav the 50% to you, otherwise I'm not going to give you anything. So in that case, even the Chachamim agree that you are patur. That's why that cannot be the scenario that explains matanot. That's why Rav Papa says, by matanot, the only way you can explain their machloket is tzvi habal tayasha. Let's move now to the Mishnah, which is by Kisui Adam. By Kisui Adam, he said, koi, ain't shochtim oto b'yom tov. Now let us check the koi in yom tov. With regards to kilayim, you're for sure patur from Kisui Adam on yom tov. That is because, whether it's a rachel or an aiz, you're not chayav in Kisui Adam. Kisui Adam only applies to a chayah and an oaf. It does not apply to a behema. So in that case, if it's a mix between a rachel and an aiz, there's nothing to speak about. It's clearly a behema. No matter what you think contribution of each parent is, it's going to be a behema, and a behema is tura me Kisui Adam. So the question becomes by the koi. By the koi, are you chayav in Kisui Adam or not? So over here, you have, if it's a tzvi, habal atayasha, if it is a deer that mated with a female goat, then in that case, the Chachamim say you can't shecht it on Yom Tov. And that is because according to them, you're chayav in Kisui Adam. If the mother is the only thing that matters, then you have a tayasha over here. Tayasha is a behema. You're not chayav in Kisui Adam. Because the mother is a behema. If that's all that matters, this offspring is a behema. There's no Kisui Adam. If you say that the father also matters, therefore the father's a tzvi, he's a chayav, then you have what's called mixat tzvi. According to the Chachamim, mixat tzvi is enough to make you chayav in Kisui Adam. So you have a safek here as to whether it's all by the mother and you're patur from Kisui Adam, or it's also choshin zera'av, classified as a chayav, and you'd be chayav in Kisui Adam. Given that it's a safek, on Yom Tov, it's not going to allow you to use the Efer Mukhan, which is set aside for this purpose, because you set it aside for a vadai, not for a safek, and we don't allow you then to get involved in muksa on Yom Tov to deal with this. And that's because it's a safek according to the Chachamim in that scenario. According to Rav Papa, that's the scenario of that Mishnah. Koi ain't shochetim otob Yom Tov is according to the Chachamim in a case of Tzvi Abal Tayasha. According to Rabbi Eliezer, in that scenario, you'd be patur mikisui adam. Because your two options are, it's all governed by the mother. Mother's a tayasha, which is a beima. So in that case, the offspring would be patur from kisui adam. If you say, hushin zera'av, we worry about the father, then you have a mixa tzvi and mixa tayasha. According to Rabbi Eliezer, mixa tzvi is not enough to make you chayav in kisui adam. And therefore, according to him, you are patur. Rashi does point out that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could explain that Mishnah in Vikurim that's found in Beitza about Koish in Shoktim Otobi Yom Tov. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you could explain it as a case of Tayash Habal Tzviyah. So even though you could have done that, and Rav Papa could have done that, he doesn't do that because he preferred to set up the Mishnah like the Rabbonon. Given that we want to set up the Mishnah like the Rabbonon, therefore the case that that is true for the Rabbonon, your Chayav is Safek, is in the case of a Tzvi Habal Tayashah. If you had the case in the reverse, which is a tayash, haba, alatzviyah, according to the chachamim, you're going to be chayav, mimonofshach. If you go by the mother's a tzviyah, and therefore it's a chayah here, and you have to do kisui adam. Even if you think the father matters, and that's a goat, you still have mitzvah the tzvi from the mother, and mitzvah the tzvi is enough to make you chayav. So according to the chachamim, mimonofshach, you're going to be chayav in kisui adam, and you could shecht on Yom Tov. That's why it can't be the scenario of Yom Tov, according to the Chachamim and the Rabbonim. On the other hand, for Rabbi Eliezer, that will be the case of Safek. Because for Rabbi Eliezer, if you have a Tayash that mates with a Tzviyah, if you only go by the mother, you're Chayav in Kisui Adam, because the mother's a Tzviyah. And that would make you Chayav in Kisui Adam. If you're Choshesh the Zera Ha'av, then you have a mixed breed, and you have Mixa Tzvi. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, Mixa Tzvi makes you Patur. So now you have 50% chance you're Chayav, the Gamrei, 50% you're Patur. That's a Safek. You're Chayav is Safek. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, that could be the scenario in that Mishnah of Eikoy in Shoktim Otob Yom Tov. Again, Rav Papa didn't do that because he's trying to set it up like the Rabbanon and not like Rabbi Eliezer. But just to know, as Rashi points out, that Rabbi Eliezer could fit into that Mishnah, just you'll have to explain it as the opposite case. According to that, Kisui Adam and Matanot, those two cases, according to Rav Papa, the scenario is Tzvi Habala Tayasha. That's the koi that we're speaking about. And given that's the koi that we're speaking about, we can now explain why, by Matanot, the Zerah L'chaim and Teva, we have a machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say you're Chayav, 50% of it. And Rabbi Eliezer says you're Patur by the Matanot. By Kisui Adam, according to the Chachamim, you can't shecht such a koi on Yom Tov because you're Chayav is a fake, and therefore you can't do that shechita because of the problem of the Kisui Adam. All right, so then he says, Uli inyan otoved beno. When it comes to Otov Epino, which is really what led us all the way into this, because we're speaking about Otov Epino, Ben B'tayish HaBal Tzviyah, Ben B'tzvi HaBal Tayasha. It does not matter whether it is a buck, a male goat, that mated with a hind, which is a female deer, or Ben Tzvi, or whether it was a hart, a male deer, HaBal Tayasha, that mated with a doe, a female goat. Doesn't matter. In both of those scenarios, we can explain the Otov Epinos case. And that is, Kayisha Bala Tzviya, if you have the male goat that is mating with the female deer, Uli Isura, and we're speaking about a case or a scenario where it is the Isura. And that is because, if it's Kayisha Bala Tzviya, Rabbonon Savre, Dilma Choshishim Lezerav, maybe we should worry about the Zerav. Seb, Afil Mixat Seh Amrinot, they invoke that principle of Mixat Seh, even Mixat Seh is Chayav, Ve'asur, and therefore there's an Iser there, even though there's no Malkot. Rabbi Elazar Savarni, Nami Dechoshin Zerav, even if you worry about the Zerav, Seh, Vafilu Mixat Seh, Lo Amrinot. But we don't have that principle of any partial Seh, Mixu Chayav. So now, Vayatayash about Tzviyah, if you go by the mother alone, both the Rabbonon and Rabbi Eliezer will agree you are patur. It's a tzviyah, it's a chayah. Otobe beno is only applicable by shorvasev, meaning only by behemot. It's not applicable by chayah. So if you believe you go by the mother solely, then for sure you are patur. If you are choshishin lezera'av, then it turns out that Rabbonon and Rabbi Eliezer are going to disagree over here. The Rabbanim are going to say, if you're Choshesh Lezera Av, the father was a goat. The brother is a goat, that's Mixat Seh. Mixat Seh, you're Chayav then for Oto Ve'et Vino. So now you have one scenario where you'll be Patur, one scenario you're going to be Chayav. That's a Safek De'oraita. Safek De'oraita L'chumra, and we're going to say it's Asur. You can't do it. Because if you do it, you're in Safek violation of a Din De'oraita. We're not going to allow you to do that. If you did do it, we can't give you Malkot. We can't give you Malkot because it is a Safek De'oraita. We don't know if you really were in violation of the Isur. Now, Rashi over here says the reason we can't give you Malkot is because it's a Hatrat Safek. If you warn the individual, we don't know what you're warning them. Are you warning them for an Isur De'oraita or they are Patur? And therefore it's called a Hatrat Safek. Ve'ein Malkot below Hatrat. And therefore there's no Malkot without Hatrat. It's very difficult why Rashi says this, because as I explained to you, the halacha should be that there's a problem in a safek d'oraita, irrespective of the hatra. You can't give malkot just because of the fact that it is a safek, whether you're chayav or patur, v'oto be'bino, forgetting about hatra. And both the Rashash, the Chatan Sofer point out, even if you believe hatra safek shmei hatra, that a safek hatra is a good hatra, Rashi is saying it according to the one who says it's not a good hatra. But let's say you could say it was a good atra. You still would not be chayav in Malkot because you don't know if you violated the Isur or not. That's the whole point here. It's a safek. And so therefore they, Chatam Sofer goes as far as to say he thinks that it's a taut sofer in Rashi. He thinks that it's a mistake in the Girsa in Rashi because it's such a difficult statement that Rashi makes. So others believe that the problem here is simply that you have a safek. There are those that want to suggest that this has to do with the machlok between the Rambam and Rashi when it comes to a safek d'oraita. When we say safek d'oraita l'chumra, is that a rabbinic din or is that a d'oraita din? The Rambam believes that kol safek d'oraita is only l'chumra midrabanan. And that's why he says by a safek sfeika that you actually are l'kula. Because he says that if you have a safek d'oraita, we go l'chumra is only a din d'rabanan. If you have another safek on top of that, then you have a safek d'rabanan which goes l'kula. And that's why by a safek sfeika you're going to be patur. But Rashi believes that when it comes to a safek d'oraita, you go to chumra, that's a din d'oraita. Min haTorah, you have to go to chumra by a safek d'oraita. So some want to say that that's why Rashi over here says brings in hatrat safek, because if you believe that safek d'oraita is the chumra, then it's a din d'oraita that you go to chumra over here. That's still not a strong enough answer, because that might mean that d'oraita, your chayav, doesn't mean your chayav malkot. Even if you say safek d'oraita is the chumra, mi d'oraita, doesn't mean necessarily that that means there's a lav there that you're going to get malkot for. Just means that you have to go to chumra and there's an isur. So it's not so clear, even if you think, like Rashi, that you really would get malkot here. But that's an attempt to try to deal with why this Rashi says hatrat safek is the reason over here. But that's the first possibility, which is if the koi is a tayash, a baal tzviya, then the machloka between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer, where the Rabbanan say you are chayav, proto benot bakoi, means not chayav, but means asur. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, patur, actually mutar, because there's no issue here. Whether you think it's the mother who's a chaya, you're patur, or if you think it's a mixed breed, you're still patur, because he doesn't think a mixed breed makes you chaya, minoto ve'epino. The other possibility is, bitzvi, habayota yasha. The other possibility is it's a hart, a male deer, that is mating with a doe with a female goat, ula malkot. And here, the question is whether you get malkot or you don't get malkot. We possibly worry about the father's contribution. It doesn't matter because you still have mixat tzeh there, and therefore you get malkot mi monofshoch. According to the Chachamim, there are two possibilities. Either we worry just about the mother. The mother here is a goat. So if you worry about the mother, then you're sure chayav in oto ve'et bino, because that's a ve'ema. If you worry about the father's contribution, who's a tzvi here, who's a chaya, it still doesn't matter because the mother is still 50% contributing. She's a seh. If you have mixed that seh, according to the chachamim, that's enough to make you chayav. So according to the chachamim, mimonoshach your chayav malkot. Either because it's just the mother, and it's a beima, and your chayav, or because it's a mix between a beima and a chayav, that's enough to make you chayav anyway. So either way, no matter what we hold, your chayav and malkot, and that would be the position of the chachamim. There is an Isur, but there is no Malkot. There is an Isur because maybe the father doesn't matter over here. Well, the father doesn't matter, then the mother is a Tayasha, is a Behemah, and you're chayav 100%. You really should get malkot and be chayav. Vahai semayu, because you have a full-fledged step. But on the other hand, malkot leka, you don't get malkot because it's another option. Dilma choshin lezera'av, maybe the father is important over here and the father's a deer. But then, if it becomes a mixed breed, where it's 50% Svi, 50% Tayasha, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Mixat Seh does not make you Chayav, and therefore you are Patur. So now you have one possibility where you're going to be Chayav Malkot, one possibility where you are Patur Malkot. That leaves you in the same scenario as the Chachamim in the other case, which is Chayav Patur, Safik Doraita L'Chumra, you can't do it, there's an Isur. But Malkot we can't give you, either according to Rashi, because it's a trat safek, or underlying, the real reason should be that there's a safek, whether you are chayav or not chayav. So we can't give you Malkot when we don't know if you for sure violated the Isur. So therefore he has potur mi Malkot in Surah Ika. And therefore you'd explain the Braita then, if it was a Tzviya Baal Tayasha, that when the Chamim say, Otobe Ebeno Noheg Bekoi, that means you're chayav Malkot. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, Koi Ein Otobe Ebeno Noheg Bo, means you don't get Malkot, still Asur, but you get Malkot if you explain it as a Tzvi about Tayasha. If you explain it as a Tayash about a Tzviya, then, according to the Chachamim, what it means, Otobe Benono Heg, Bekoi means Isur, there's an Isur there. For Rabbi Eliezer, Otobe Beno, Eno Heg Bo means it's not even an Isur over there, because Mimonashav, according to him, you are Patur, there is no Otobe Beno. Now, the one thing that we didn't address here is what Rav Chista said yesterday. And that might be influential in explaining these cases. Yesterday in Otobe Beno, we had two statements from Rav Chista. One statement was a kol modim. Everybody agrees that when you have a tzviya as the mother, and the child is a tayish, meaning the father was a goat, that you are a patur. Because it says, seh ubeno. And over here you have no seh in the motherhood. On the other hand, Rav Chista says a kol modim, if it was a tayasha, it would not tzvi. If she was a goat, the mother, and the offspring was a deer, meaning that the father was a deer, that you are chayav, because seh amar machmana ubeno koldu. As long as you have a seh, which is the mother, and the beno is anything, then it's fine. What Rav Chista is pointing out is that if you learn like the Rabbanan, and not like Hananya, then the mother is the only thing that matters, boto be'beno, because the chiyuv of boto be'beno derives from the mother. So if you have a mother who is a seh, and a child, doesn't matter, the Torah never defines what the child has to be, then everybody agrees you're chayav. And vice versa. If the mother is a deer and the son is a set, doesn't really matter because the mother is what matters over there. Votobed, but no. That's Rav Chista's view. Therefore, the Gemara came to the conclusion that the machloket is about a case of a child and a grandchild. It's a case of a bat and then a ben to that bat. So the question was, if you shecht the daughter plus the grandson of this mixed breed, what is the din over here? And then we would invoke the issue of mixat aseh or ain't mixat aseh, and whether choshen lezerav or not choshen lezerav. So that is the view that we came to in the conclusion in the beginning of the Havamina yesterday. So there are Mishonim that believe when the Papa says over here that the case of Otov Epino are with these mixed breeds, he's saying that in the scenario that Rav Chista painted before. And that means that we're only dealing with a child and a grandchild, an offspring and a grand offspring of these mixed breeds. That's the scenario over here. On the other hand, the Rambam takes it at face value. And he reads the scenarios over here being not governed by what Rav Chista said before. And he reads them, Pashtuta Gemara here, that this is a case of the first generation afterwards. It's the parent, the mother, and the offspring of this mixed breed. Is there a din of Otov Ebeno? So I read it that way, like the Rambam, which is the simple reading of the Gemara. But just be aware that many Rishonim, they believe that this is governed by what we said yesterday in Rav Chista. It doesn't matter if it's a mixed breed, you're Chayav or Patur and Otov Ebeno, depending on what the mother was. That's the only thing that matters. But the scenario where it is a question is where you have a daughter that's born from that mixed breed and she becomes the mother. So now you have a mother that's a mixed breed. What is the din of that mother who's a mixed breed? And that's what we're discussing over here together with her son. And so that's the view of some of the Rishonim, so just be aware of it. Okay, now we come to the alternate opinion which you were suggesting, which is Amar of Yehuda, koi birya bifnei atzmahi. It is an independent species. Lo yichriya ba chachamim imin beima hi imin chayahi. So this goes against Rav Chista. Rav Chista is the one who led us into this whole idea by the koi, that the koi is really a mixed breed between a chaya and a behema. That's the whole koi situation. And why there's the problem here, it's not an inherence of faith in the species of this animal. The problem is that the animal is a mixed breed. It's a result of a mating between a behema and a chaya, chaya and a behema. And therefore, we don't know what the status of the animal is, because we don't know whether the mother is the only one that matters or the father also matters. That's what creates all this spekot over here. That's Rav Chisda's view. Rav Yehuda comes along to say that's not what a koi is. The problem of a koi is it's a birya bifnei atzma. It's its own creation. And the chachamim didn't know whether it was a chaya or a behema. Goldsmith, which is found in other places in Shas, says that the safek, I mean, chaya or behema, that's a question. They don't know whether this birya is classified as a chaya or behema. The Ramban, on the other hand, says birya bifnei atzma means that it displays character traits of both a behema and a chaya. It's not that it's a safek, whether it's a chaya or whether it's a behema. It's a new type of species. It's a species that incorporates both behema and chaya in it. And that's why they don't know whether it's a chaya or a behema in this instance. Rav Nachman Amar, koi ze el habar. That the koi is actually, he identifies it as being an el habar. The question as to whether Rav Nachman is a different opinion than Rav Yehuda is not clear over here. Is he distinct? Or is he saying that what is this birya bifnei atzma? It is this el habar. Or is he saying that koi is not a safek? That's possibly what Rav Nachman feels. It's unclear here. We'll see in a second. That's a machloket rishonim based on the next braita. Now, Rashi points out, and the Balei Tosfot second this, that when it comes to these opinions of Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, they are going amatnita and the kisui adam. Their reference is back to the Mishnah about kisui adam. That's what they're speaking about. They're not speaking about the machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbonon. Speaking about koi in general that we find in Shas, this is what the meaning of koi is everywhere else in Shas. As far as the Rabbonon and Rabbi Eliezer, it's not necessarily clear that they are addressing that situation. Because if it is the case that it's a birya bifnei atzman, lo yichriyo ba chachamim, then what does that mean? The Rabbonon believe that the position is this way, and Rabbi Eliezer believes it's that way, lo yichriyo ba chachamim. So that wouldn't make sense. So they both say that this has nothing to do with those cases where there's a machloket, Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim. It's about the cases where it's mentioned like the koi, you know, shechtan yom tov. What's that koi over there? And that's what they're addressing. Kitanai, this is like a machloket tanaim. Koi ze el habar. Peyeshomim ze aba minatayish uminatzvia. Biyosi omer, koi birya mifnei atzmahi. Lo yichriyo ba chachamim im min chaya, im min behema. So now, you have, so far, what seemingly is three opinions. The first opinion is koi is an elabar. It's this wild ayo. Some say that it's a mixed breed between a tayish and a tzviya, and it's born of a mixed breed between a chaya and a behema. And then you have seemingly a third opinion, which is Rabbi Yossi, who says that a koi is birya bifnei atzma. It's its own creation where the chachamim were not machriya, it's min chaya or bin behema. And then you have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, min behema. He says it's no question that it is a min behema. Michelle Beit Doshai, or Shobet Rashai, some family, they domesticated them and they were breeding them. Well, if it's a chaya, you wouldn't be breeding them. You wouldn't have them as adarim adarim because it's a wild animal. That's really the definition of a chaya, is a wild animal. Behema is a domesticated animal. That might be that sometimes you can domesticate a chaya and sometimes a domesticated animal will be wild, but those are the exceptions. But if you're breeding and bringing up flocks and flocks of these animals, that's not just like a one exception. That sounds like it is a domesticated type of animal. So that is the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, according to the Balei HaTosafot over here, there are actually three different opinions that we have in the Gemara. So Tosafot says, according to one who says that is el habar, he thinks that according to this, the koi is a chaya gemura. And you can see, as Tosfot said, Ze'el Abar, the summer of Nachum et Tanakama, the Braita, Shu Vadai Chaya. That they believe that it's a Vadai Chaya, they're defining what the El Abar is. V'shochatim oto v'yom tov v'mechassim damo. U'pligi ha-matznitin. And they argue on the Mishnah that we had before. Aval ein lomar t'lidhu be'ema ha-avad imkein Tanakama ha-inu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Can't say according to them it's classified as a be'ema. And if that's the case, then you have three opinions over here. You have one opinion that at koi is a chaya gemura, which is this opinion of El Abar. There's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who says that a koi is a behema gemura. And then there's the view of Rabbi Yossi that it's a birya bifnei atzma. And in that way, you have actually three different opinions as to what the status of a koi is. Although, there are other Rishonim who suggest that the Rav Nachman's statement about El Abar is not a conclusive statement about the koi. He's just saying the koi is the El Abar, but he's not making any definitive statement about the koi itself. And in that case, you only have two opinions over here. There's one opinion that it's a biri b'fnei atzma, it's a safek chaya, safek beima. And then you have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that it's a beima. The position Zei El Abar brings it into the world of biri b'fnei atzma, or something where we couldn't be machria between a beima and a chaya, and that Rav Nachman and the Tanakam are not bringing a new position that that's considered to be a chaya gemura, but rather they're just defining what the koi is. And then, based on that definition, they're saying that it's a safek chaya, safek beima. So, according to the Baal Tosafot, there are actually three different views as to what the status of a koi is. Whereas, according to the other Rishonim, it's only two positions, whether it's safek chaya beima, or is it beima. And obviously, the one who says that the koi is a mixed breed, Baal Menatayah Shemitzviyah, it's subsumed under that same category of being a safek, chaya, or beima, because that's exactly the problem, whether a kosher shi'im the zera'av or not. But the question is it partly beima, partly chaya, or is it completely a chaya? But that's the same type of safek that is brought by the others, about a safek, chaya, and beima, as opposed to the Baal Tosafot view that there is an opinion here who thinks that it's a chaya gemura. Alright, now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Safra, Amar Rabbi Amnuna. Hane ize de balo. So now Rashi says over here, the word balo means a yar. It's a generic term for the word yar, forest. The Rabbeinu Gershom, on the other hand, says balo means a particular forest. It's a proper noun, not a generic term for yar. And then Rashi says that forest is also synonymous with Lebanon. And therefore he says, ize de balo are the goats of the Lebanese mountains. Kshirot the gabe mizbeach. They're allowed to be put on the Mizbeach, which would mean that they are behemot and not chayot. Chayot don't go on the Mizbeach. Behemot do go on the Mizbeach. Savarla, tihada Rabbi Yitzchak, he holds like that which Rabbi Yitzchak says, eser behemot manakatuv bitzulo. There are 10 behemot that are mentioned in the psukim, and no more. Vahani, and these, midoloka choshivlu bahadei chayot, since these are not enumerated amongst the chayot in that list, shmamina ve'ez nino, then clearly it is an ez, meaning that it's not a chaya. So in Parshat Re'eh, when it deals with the kosher animals, it says, zote be'ma she'tochelu, shor, seksavim ve'se'izim. So you have here a list of be'mot, but not just be'mot, you also have chayot. The first three that are enumerated here are clearly be'mot, that's a shor, a seksavim, and a se'izim. Those are be'mot. The remainder of the list are chayot. And those are ayal, utzvi, viachmur, veako, vidishon, uteo, vizomer. So those are a list of chayot. Kosher chayot. And as we saw with Tanna Dibei Rabbi Shmuel earlier, the Torah enumerates whichever one list is shorter. The fact that the Torah enumerated the chayot over here, kshirot, and the behemot kshirot, tells you that that's the shorter list. There are more tmeyot out of there than there are Sherot. But that means it gave you the exhaustive list. And if it gave you the exhaustive list, and this Ezabalo is not found on the list, it's not the Ayal Tzvi, Yachmor, Akod, Yishon, Tov, Zomer, it's not one of those Chayot, then the only option left is that it is a Behema. If it's a Behema, and it's showing kosher signs, and it's called an Ez, and it's able to be put on the Mizbeach. So that is this view that Rabbi Zero is saying, Rav Safra, Rav Amnuna, that Ezabalo have a din like Behema, can go on the Mizbeach. And that's premised on this Rabbi Yitzchak that says that this list is exhaustive, and since they're not found in the list, then they're clearly not a chaya. Tosafot asks the question here, as well as on the Gemara before, which is that in Elu Trefo, we had, through the horns of an animal, you can determine whether it is a chaya or behema. If you look at the different structures of the horns, the Gemara gave us simanim, how to know whether it's a chaya or behema. So why in all these sfeikot don't we just look at the horns of the animal and determine whether it's a behema or chaya? So Tosafot says with regards to all of those, Eish lamar defshar deloy yucholim levarer bekarnav shafir. It wasn't obvious. The horns had different features, some features like a behema, some features like a chaya. It wasn't determinant, the horns in this case, and therefore they could not be machriya in all these cases of a sfeik. So now, Matkibla Rav Achar bar Yaakov. Veima, why don't you say Ayal Utzvi? The positive begins Ayal Utzvi and then gives a whole list of animals. Prat. Kol Beima. Kol Beima, Mepreset Parsav, Shosad, Shtesu, Shtei Prasom, Alet Geir Beima, Tot Tochelu. That's a klal. Prat uklal. That's a klal. Musif ala prat. Ikatuba. In a principle where we have klal uprat is ein baklal ala meshab prat. The prat defines the klal in that case. If you have a prat uklal, then the prat starts out and the klal says add on more things. Add on many more things. Now, if there was another klal there, it was a klal uprat uklal, then we would say you only add on ke'ein ha prat. So that's what it's defining. But now when you only have a prat uklal, the klal comes and said add on all these other things. In pain, kolhani prate lamali. Gemara says, nah, that's not a good limud, because then why list out all the pratim? If it was a prat uklal to tell you that there are many, many more items, then why go through the trouble of listing out the seven chayot that are listed over here? There's no purpose to that, because you can add on more, or there's more, and we don't even know what they are. That doesn't make sense. So why go through the trouble of listing these if there are a whole bunch more that are included? So that can't be the explanation over there. Matkib lo ravacha b'rei d'ravika v'dilma mina da'ako ninu. Maybe it's a subset of the species ako. Amalei ravacha b'rei d'rova l'ravashi v'amila ravacha b'rei d'ravavya l'ravashi dilma mina d'to. Maybe it is a subset of the toe. O mina d'zamer. Or maybe it is a subset of the species zamer. Now, either we don't know what an akol, a toe, and a zamer are, and therefore you can't tell whether the azabala is a subset of those, because you don't even know what those are. Or even if you know what those are, maybe az is subsumed in them. The question as to what those are, the akol is usually associated with the ibex. The to'o, which in modern Hebrew is associated with the buffalo, but it's unlikely that's what it means here in the Torah, that to'o means the buffalo. Rather, it probably means that to'o is a bison. And then the zamer of Sadra Gaon identifies the zamer as being the giraffe, which is interesting in of itself. So the question is this az dabalo somehow related to one of these items? And really, the question revolves around az dabalo. How do I view the name of the animal versus the character of the animal? It's called an az. Is the fact that it's called an az already mean that it's defined as a behemah? Or the fact that it's the balo, it's the az of the yar, and it displays properties of being wild, maybe that defines it as a chaya. And that's really what the tension is over here, is do we focus on the name az, and therefore it's a behemah? Or do we focus on the character, the fact that now it's found in the wild, and it's called the az the yar, and so therefore, it could be a chaya, or it should be defined as a chaya. So that seems to be the crux of what's going on here. So now you have all of these amuraim that seem to be pushing back against what Rabbi Zeira said, which is Rabbi Zeira is calling it a behemah through and through that you can put on this back. All of these amuraim are suggesting, at least, maybe it is a chaya. And then we have the final, Amalei Rav Chanan on the Ravashi, Amemar Shari Tarbayu. Amemar said that their chelev is mutar, which means that Amemar believed that they were chayot, through and through. The chelev of a chaya is not asur, because it can't go on the mizbeach. Therefore, it's not asur. Only the chelev of a behema is asura. So given that, it's a full-fledged chaya, according to a meimar. So here you have a series of amoraim that are pushing against this view that it is a behema. Baimine abba breda rab binyamin barchia miravuna barchia, hane izi debala ma'u legabi mizbeach. So here we have it posed as a question, can you put it on the mizbeach? Amalei. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbi Yossi Rabbonon. Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon in the Braita, they only argue about Ela B'shor HaBar. They argue about Shor HaBar, what it's classified as. It's not. We have the Mishnah in Gilayim. Shor HaBar, the wild ox, we'll leave it, it's translated as that for right now. Min Be'imahu. It is classified as a full-fledged Be'imah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Min Chaya. Rabbi Yossi says it's a Chaya, wild animal. The Rabbonon Sabre, Mid Mitargaminan. Turbala, mina de behemahu. Since it is translated as turbala, that shows you that it is a behema. Now, turbala means shor balo. And Rashi over here again says that bala means forest, and forest is synonymous with Lebanon. That means that's the shore of Lebanon. That's what Rashi says. Now, targaminon is in the Torah. And Rashi has different little Girsa in our Gemara. It says that the To'o that is mentioned in the Torah, the translation of To'o, according to the Targum Unkelis, is the Torah Balo. So that's how Unkelis translates it. Now, as Tosafot points out, it's clear that the Chachamim believe that whatever the To'o is in the Torah is a Behema. We just don't know what the To'o was. And now Unkelis tells us that the To'o is Shor HaBalo. So Shor HaBalo, they're identifying as being synonymous with Shor HaBar. This Shor HaBar and Shor HaBalo. And that's why they think over here that it is a Min Behema. So they think that the To'o is a Behema. And therefore, when it's translated as Tor Balo, that tells you that Shor HaBar or Shor Balo, which Rashi thinks are the same thing, that is something that is a Behema. Now obviously, if you think To'o is a Behema, the question we asked in the previous series, maybe it's a subset of To'o, is not a real question according to the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim here, To'o is a Behema. The question would have only been true according to Rabbi Yossi, Savar mit kachoshev lei b'hadei chayot, mina dechayahu. He believes that the To'o is a chaya because it's mentioned amongst the Ayal, Svi, Yachmor, Akol, Dishon, To'or, Vizamer. All the other items that are mentioned there are min chayot. So then the To'o is also a min chaya. So therefore it's mina dechayahu. And therefore it's classified as a chaya. And Tosfot says over here, according to Rabbi Yossi, Mashma, Dilad dechoshiv lei b'hadei chayot. Had it not been enumerated amongst the chayot there, habi behema lekuleyama. It would have been classified as a behema according to everyone, Meshum denikra shor, because it's called a shor. And a shor is something that is domesticated. So what you see from this is that the name is what dictates. So if it was a shor habar, shor is governing over here. Since shor governs over here, everybody would have thought it's a behema. Except for the fact that the targum of the to'o is shor habalo, Chachamim think that To'o is a Behema, that's why it's a Behema. But even the word Shor would have made it a Behema. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, since it's amongst the Chayot, it has a din like a Chaya. If it's a Chaya, then Shor HaBar now is a Chaya. But absent that it had been mentioned amongst the Chayot, he would have agreed that a Shor HaBar is classified as a Behema. So Tosfot says, then why do we have any question about El HaBar? Why does anybody say El HaBar is a Chaya? Because an ayil is a behema. So what's the difference that over there it's called an ayil habar, el habar, and over here it's called shor habar, and over here we would have said the name dictates, and over there we wouldn't have said that the name dictates. So there are different answers that are given, but one of them is the fact that the question about names is the name definitive in these cases? I mean, for instance, el habar, it could be that the truth is that it's El Habar, which means an Ayil Habar, a wild Ayil, and then you would have a question. Or it could be that it's really an Ayal, which is more along the lines of a gazelle, something from the deer family. And it could be Ayal Habar. And the question is, maybe the pronunciation was mixed up over time. It really was an Ayal, but then it changed to El, and maybe that's why the name is not definitive over there. Or it might be that by Shor, we don't find any wild varieties of the shor. The shor in general is a domesticated animal. We don't find wild varieties of it. On the other hand, by the El Habar and the Aes of Balo, even within the family of the Aes and within the family of the Ayil, we do find species that are wild. And so therefore, even though the words themselves, if you just told me it was an Ayil, it was a ram, if you told me it was an Aes, it was a goat, we would have assumed they were domesticated. Now when you add on another descriptor to it, maybe then it's a part of this species that are wild. There are wild forms of this species. And therefore, maybe it's not as definitive as shor, where you don't find wild shvarim. That's a possibility. And that might go to also what the question of what is a shor habar in general. Whether a shor habar is maybe a buffalo, according to some, but then that would be somewhat problematic because the Rishonim indicate that a buffalo is clearly a behema and can be put on the Mizbeach. The Rishonim say that the shor u'meri, the meri is what otherwise is known as a buffalo. Though the Rama still thinks that a buffalo might be a chayo, and therefore it says, misafek, you have to do kisui adam on a buffalo. So it's less likely to be that, and therefore you have to come up with another animal that the El Habar is, because it's less likely to be a buffalo, even though that seems like something that would have fit the description of Shor HaBar over here. Aval, Hane divyako mina de eznino. But these, everybody agrees, it is a type of ez. So he asked them about the ezabala, and he says that everybody agrees the ezabala is a bema, because ez dictates over here. The only question was by the shore of Bar, that's where their machloker was, if it was subsumed under the term to'o in the Torah, is the to'o behema or is the to'o a chaya? But now we have the same questions. Now that he thinks that an ez habala is classified as a behema, matkilor vacha brei deravika, v'doma mino da'ako ninu. How do you know that it is a ez habala is a behema? Maybe it's a subset of the species ako. Amalei ravina le ravashi, v'doma mino da'tohu, or mino da'zamer ninu. Maybe it's a subspecies of To'o or Zomer. Again, only according to Rabbi Yossi, who thinks To'o is a Chaya. According to the Chachamim, if it's a Behema, then it doesn't matter. But maybe it's a subset of those species. Amarlei, Rav Nachman, or the other gear says Rav Chana and the Ravashi, Ameimar Shari Tarbayu. Ameimar says that the fats of the Ezabalo is Mutar, which means that he thinks it's completely a Chaya and not a Behema. So here you have a position that's brought in two different ways, that the Eze Nebala, that according to Rav Amnuna, and according to the other version, according to Rav Huna Bar Chiya, that the Eze Nebala are considered Behemot. And in both cases, we brought challenges to that view that they are Behemot. And in the final statement, we have a Meimar saying that they are full-fledged Chayot and not Behemot. And again, that tension between the name of the animal and the character of the animal, or what's playing out here, is to how to define the animal. Ketzad, what's the scenarios? And then you go through the scenarios in our Mishnah. Amar Hoshaya, kula matnitan delok Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah cannot be authored by Rabbi Shimon, because our Mishnah doesn't work like Rabbi Shimon. Mimai. How do you know that's the case? Midekatoni. Because the scenarios that are brought down, according to Rabbi Shimon, would not be possible. The first scenario is kochim bachutz. When you have kochim bachutz, two behemot, mother and child, that you shech bachutz. Harishon chayav karet. The first one is chayav karet because of kodshim bachutz. Both of them are disqualified because the first one was kodshim bachutz. The second one is also kodshim bachutz, but you're not chayav for kodshim bachutz because it is already disqualified because the second animal was loto ved veno. Shneim sovkim et arabayim, and they both get malkot. The first one gets malkot because of kodoshim bachot, when it's discussed in the Mishnah, why you would get karet and malkot. The second one gets malkot because he violated oto ved bino. He's not in violation of kodoshim bachot because we said kosh roi bifnim. Anything that's roi to put in the bring inside the mikdash, then you're chayav kodoshim bachot. Over here, the second animal is not roi bifnim because they're already, either way, the parent or the child was already shechted today. That means that the second one cannot be shechted today. If you brought it as a korban in the mikdash, it'd be mechusar zman, would not be accepted. Since it's not accepted bifnim, bachutz, it's not going to be classified as kodoshim bachutz. So you're not chayav for kodoshim bachutz, but you're still chayav for oto ve'et bino. Now, michtei, meaning later Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon is of an opinion that we're going to see upcoming in the Gemara, shchita she'ena re'uya lo shmei shchita. If you do a shchita that is not re'uya, it's not called shchita. That is learned from the posuk that's brought by Yosef. When he has his brothers coming over to eat, it says over there, tavoach, tevach, ve'achein, that you should shech the meat, v'achein, and prepare it so that they are going to be eating with us today. From there, Rabbi Shimon learns that when you shecht an animal, it's only called shchita if it's re'uya ve'achila, if it can be eaten afterwards. So over here, you have shchitot, they're not classified as shchita. And remember, by the isur of oto ve'beno, we say, v'shor ose, oto ve'beno lo tishchatu b'yom echad. It specifically mentions shchita with regards to oto ve'beno. So shchita is a key element of oto ve'beno. According to Rabbi Shimon, kama miktal katle, the first animal you killed, it was kodshim bachutz. That's not a kosher shchita. That's not a shchita that's ru'uya la'achila. That's a shchita psula. If that's the case, it's not classified as a shchita. Nevertheless, you're still chayav for kodeshim bachutz. Rabbi Shimon doesn't say then you're potur from kodeshim bachutz, because then you'll never have kodeshim bachutz, because every shchita is a shchita psula. He says that's a gzeirat katu. That when you do something that looks like shchita bachutz, you're going to be chayav for it. But for any other din, it's not going to be classified as shchita. That means as far as oto ve'beno, the first animal that you killed was exactly that. You killed it. You didn't give it a shchita. If that's the case, sheni mitkabel bifnimu. That means that the second animal could have been brought as a korban bifnim. The first animal wasn't shefted, then the second animal is not oto ved beno. The second animal is not oto ved beno. You could have brought it on the mizbeach bifnim. Karet nami lechayev. Then he should also have been chayav karet. Forget about the malkot. He should have been chayav karet for kodeshim bachutz. Because it was ro'oi bifnim. There was no mechuser zman of oto ved beno according to him, because the first animal wasn't shefted. Then the second animal is not subject to oto ved beno. That's the case. You could have brought it as a korban. You could have brought it as a korban and you shefted it outside. That's called a shim b'chutz chayav karet. So why is the Mishnah telling you that you get malkot? It should be telling you you're chayav karet for called a shim b'chutz. Number one. Next case. Chulim bifnim, shneim psulim. If you shech two animals that are chulim inside the azara, they are both psulim. V'sheni sofeg et arbaim. And the second one gets malkot for oto v'et bino. Michte, shmeina leider Rabbi Shimon, damar shchita sheina ruya, lo shma shchita. We know, according to Rabbi Shimon, when you do a shchita, if it has to be ruya la'achila, if it's not, it's not called a shchita. Kama, mikdal katle. Again, the first one, when you shechted it, b'fim, chulin bazara, is a surba achila, surba hana'a. You can't eat it, that's not a shchita ha'ruya. So now, if that's the case, you didn't do shchita, that means there's no oto ve'et beno over here. And then, sheni, amai sofeg et arbaim. Why does the second one get malkot over here? Meaning that the first one was chulin bifnim, that's not a real shkita. That means the second one's not subject to oto ved bino. And if that's the case, you shechted there, you're in violation of chulin bazara, but you're not in violation of oto ved bino. So why are you getting malkot? Chulin bazara is an assay, it's an isur assay, there's no malkot for that. There is malkot for oto ved bino, according to Shimon. Why are you getting malkot for oto ved bino? Third case, kodoshim bifnim. If you brought kodoshim bifnim, means two animals that were kodoshim, you bring them bifnim. Harishon kasher, the rishon is clearly a good korban. You brought kodoshim, which are supposed to be brought bifnim, and you shechted it bifnim, that's a kosher korban. Upator, therefore, obviously you're pator, there's nothing you did wrong. Vasheni sofeget arbaim upasol. Then when you shech the second kodoshim bifnim, you're mechuser zman. It's oto ved beno, lo tishchatu biyom echad. If that's the case, then the second one is chayav in oto ve'et beno. Michte, again, shamina leder Rabbi Shimon damar, shkita shein ruya, lo shma shkita. Then when you have a shkita that's not ruya, it's not called a shkita. Shkita kodoshim, nami shkita sheina ruyahi. The shkita of kodoshim is always a shkita sheina ruya, according to Rabbi Shimon, because the kama galozorik dam, lo mishtari basar. Because until you sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, the basar doesn't become mutar to put on the mizbeach, or in a korban that you can eat. You can't eat the meat of the korban until there was sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach. Sheni, amai sofeg et arbaim. Upasul. Why does the second person get malkot? There's no din of oto ved benovi here. The shechita is a disqualified shechita. That means anytime you shecht kodoshim, by definition, it's not a shechita that leads to achila. Because the next stage is not achila. The next stage is zrikat adam. If you do Zrikat Adam, you can eat it. If you don't do Zrikat Adam, you can't eat it. So let's say that it is post Zrikat Adam in that case. Tosfot says that that's not the case because anytime you look at the Shkita in an isolated manner, the Shkita itself is not the thing that makes it Mutar Ba'achila, and therefore it's not called the Shkita Haru'uya according to Rabbi Shimon. So Tosfot says over here that in Perek Kisui Adam, it says over there that Rabbi Shimon learns his source that we saw before, but Tevach, Tevach Vachain, and it says, V'leilet Mishkutei Chutz. Rabbi, you saw before that Rabbi Shimon says, V'ishkutei Chutz, that even though it's a Shkita Shein Ruya, you're still Chayav for that Shkita. So Gemara says, why are you learning from the Pasuk of Tevach, Tevach? Why don't you learn from Shkutei Chutz? So the Gemara answers, you can't learn from Kodoshim to Chulin. But over here, we're dealing with Kodoshim. And the case of Oto Ved Beno is the case of Kodoshim. So why not learn that out from Kodoshim, from Shkutei Chutz, and tell you that it's a good Shkita? So Tosfot says something very interesting. It says, Yoshimar, the cave in the Ikra Oto Ved Beno b'chulin k'tiva, since the main din of Oto Ved Beno is written by Chulin, because of Ushor v'seh, which is a mafsig, therefore it, the major din is Chulin. Even though in the end we say that the Vav, Achibur, makes that it also applies to Kodoshim, nevertheless, that's just an additive thing. It doesn't mean that the key element is Kodoshim. The key element is the Chulin, and therefore that's what governs over here. And therefore you're going to need a Shkita HaRe'uya in order for you to be chayav, toto bepino, as opposed to the case of shkut echulot, where the gzeret hakotuv is, shchita, even if it's in ruya, you're going to be chayav. Over here, you're going to need a shchita ruya, because the main context of toto bepino is chulin, and by chulin, the governing principle for Rabbi Shimon is shchita haruya. And then the question of the Gemara over here is, why is it that the second one is getting malkot? Why isn't it a kosher korban? If the shechita, the first kodesh shim, was disqualified, because it was not considered a shechita, because it's shechita she'en ruya, then the second one should be a kosher korban. Why are we speaking about malkot? That's the view of the Rishonim, that there's only really one question here, is the first shechita she'en ruya. And the Amaya Sofeget Arabayim is based on the Gemara upcoming, which is a question that the Gemara is going to ask about Atrat Safek. So it's a dangling piece over here that's not really part of our sugya, as Rabbeinu Tam says that's the part of this question which is based part latter part of the sugya in tomorrow's daf, and not part of the question that's associated over here. According to Rashi, there is actually a second question. Rashi says it's lo mi bayi kamar. Lo mi bayi, linyan malkot. I'm not even asking you why the second guy gets malkot. I'm asking you why the second korban is not kasher. So what Rashi says is that there are actually two nimukim over here. Why does the second one get malkot for Toved Beno? Sheni, Amai Sofeget Arabayim. Upasul. Because it's always a Shechita Sheni Ruya when it comes to Kodoshim. And then, moreover, forgetting about why he's Chayav for malkot for Toved Beno, the second guy should have a kosher korban. Because the first one was a Shechita Sheni Ruya. So as far as the korban is concerned, it's classified as Shechita. But as far as any other Isur, there is no classification of a shechita. If that's the case, there's no din of oto v'beno anymore. The first animal wasn't shechted. That means that the second animal is not going to be subject to oto v'beno. And therefore, he wasn't subject to oto v'beno, the second guy. Forget about the fact that you're not chayav malkot oto v'beno. It should be a kosher korban, the second one. So according to Rashi, there are actually two questions in the Gemara. One question is, why does the second one get malkot? It's shechita zeneruya. And the first one should be considered Shechita Sheni Ruya. The second one not only should not get Malkot, it should be a Kosher Korban. And therefore there are two-stage question over here. So that's how Rashi frames the question. Now the reason that the other Rishonim don't like Rashi's interpretation is the Baal Tosfot point out over here, the second Shechita is not going to be called a Shechita Sheni Ruya. Because when it's the inherent item that's creating the psul, then Rabbi Shimon believes that it's a Gzeirat HaKatov, that Shechita is good enough to make you Chayav. Just like by Shkutei Chutz, we say about the Shechita that you are chayav for Shkutei Chutz, even though it's called a Shechita Sheni Ruya, same thing's going to be true about Oto Ve'Epino. Oto Ve'Epino has application by Kodoshim. Since it has application by Kodoshim, that means the Torah recognizes whatever you do as a Shechita, even if it is a Shechita Sheni Ruya, the same type of Gzeirat HaKatuv, and therefore you should be chayav for Oto Ve'Epino. So if you thought that the second was the Shechita Sheni Ruya, that's not enough of a reason to say that you're not chayav in Oto Ve'Epino. The only reason you won't be chayav in Oto Ve'Epino is if the first one wasn't classified as a Shechita. And that's because if there is another Isur involved, then it's classified as a Shechita Sheni Ruya. But if it's the Isur itself, then Shechita Sheni Ruya is not Malei B'Mori. That's the same thing by Shkutei Chutz. If there's another Isur involved, then the Shechita Sheni Ruya, and you're not chayav for Shkutei Chutz. If the only reason it's a Shechita Sheni Ruya is because of Shkutei Chutz, then you're chayav. And similarly over here, if there's another problem that makes it a Shechita Psula, then it would not be good enough to make you chayav in Oto Ve'Epino. On the other hand, if the Shechita itself is only in a Ruya because of Oto Ve'Epino, that's a Shechita that's considered Ruya for Oto Ve'Epino at least, and you're going to be chayav for that. For that reason, the Baalei Tosafot don't think that Rashi's interpretation over here is correct, and they think that if it had been that the first one was a good Shechita, and then the second one was in violation of Oto Ve'Epino, that's not a Shechita She'ena Ru'uya, because it's about Oto Ve'Epino. And Oto Ve'Epino, you're going to be chayav for if that's the only problem, that's the only thing that makes it a Shechita She'ena Ru'uya. And therefore they see the question here only being that the first one should be classified as a Shechita She'ena Ru'uya, because it's a Shechita Kodoshim, and therefore it should not qualify for Oto Ve'Epino. The disqualification over there is because it's Shechita Kodoshim, not because of Oto Ve'Epino. That disqualification should make it a Shechita Sheni Ruya l'gabei Oto Ve'Epino. If that's the case, then Oto Ve'Epino shouldn't apply to the second animal. The first one was killed. Therefore, there's no Oto Ve'Epino in the second one. The second one should be kasher, the gamrei. That's the way the Tosafot reads it. And therefore, he thinks the question of the Gemara is only at one level, not on a dual level. And then, the part of the Gemara that says, Sheni Yamait Sufegat Arabayim Upasul, that edition of the Gemara, the Rabbeinu Tam says to explain the Gemara over here, and he says that, Ela Amai Sufeg, Betulo. He doesn't quote the Mishnah that we quoted before, Amai Sufeg Et Arabayim Upasul. He rather says, Amai Sufeg, that's it, Betulo. The Gemara is hinting here to something that we're going to get to on Pei Aleph, which is they have a problem of Atrat Sufeg. And that's what the Gemara is questioning here, Amai Sufeg Et Arabayim. Not Upasul, Amai Sufeg Et Arabayim, is just a generic question connected to Atrat Sufeg. And if you look earlier in the Tosafot, Rashi erased that from the Girsa. The Rashi later on in the Gemara in Pei Aleph takes that out of the Girsa. That the problem is Atrat Sufeg. Delamali Tam Atrat Sufeg. Why don't you just say it's a problem of Otove Et Beno? Because the fact that it's Mechuzer Zman is not enough to disqualify you from Otove Et Beno because of what Tosafot said over here. If the whole problem is Otove Et Beno, that's Shkuta Hariyah for Otove Beno, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, that can't be the reason for the disqualification later on in the Gemara. And he objects to Rashi taking out the reason of Atrat Sufeg. And he thinks the reason is Atrat Sufeg. And Rabbeinu Tam brings that back in here to say Amai Sufeg Et Arabayim is relating to that Gemara further on about Atrat Sufeg and not about the issue of Shkita Shein Ruyah. So that's a major machlok between Rashi and the other Rishonim is how to interpret this Gemara. And then resulting from that is the question of whether when you have Otov Et Beno, if the Shkita of the Otov Et Beno is disqualified because it is Otov Et Beno, what's Rabbi Shimon going to think about that? And according to the Baal Tosafot, he's going to think that's a good enough Shkita to make you Chayav in Otov Et Beno. Rashi says that's a Shkita Shein Ruyah, and it's not qualified as a Otov Et Beno, likely because the source of Otov Et Beno is from Chulin, and therefore according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to turn out that there's never Otov Et Beno by Kodoshim according to Rashi. And so the Gemara says, Elish Mamina, Delok Rabbi Shimon. It's pretty clear that our Mishnah cannot follow the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Pshita, Dehochaita. The Gemara says that's very straightforward. I mean, you went through case after case, and it's pretty straightforward that Rabbi Shimon's not the author of our Mishnah. But it says, Shkitat Kodoshim Itztrichalei. Now, the Chiddush here is the issue of Shkitat Kodoshim, which is, Salkadat Kamina Shkitat Kodoshim Shkitai Ruyahi. You would have thought that the Shkita of Kodoshim is classified as a Shkita Ruya according to Rabbi Shimon. Dai Nachar Vizarek Dam. If you kill the animal through Nichira, which is not a Shkita, and then you do Zrikat Adam, Lo Mishtari Basar. It's not successful making the Basar Mutar Ba'achila or Mutar Gon Mizbeach. Bichi Shokot. But if you do a Shkita, Mishtari Basar, then when you do Zrikat Adam, the Basar becomes Mutar. So therefore you would have called it a Shkita HaReuyahi. You would have thought that's called a Shkita HaReuyah, even though in it itself it's not enough. But partnered with the Zrikat Adam, it is a Shkita HaReuyah, because if you did something besides Shkita, it wouldn't work. So that tells you that this Shkita is the thing that is facilitating this being Mutar. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. Even though the Dam, together with the Shkita, makes it a Shkita HaReuyah, that's not enough for Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon needs the Shkita independently or standalone in order to be classified as a Shkita HaReuyah. And Tosafot then goes on to suggest that, you know, that Rabbi Shimon says, Kol Omeid Nizarek Kizaruk Dami. Anything that's Omeid to be Nizrak is classified as Ibezaruk already. So that means that once you have the Shkita, you're ready through the Zrika, because Kol Omeid Nizarek Kizaruk Dami. So Tosafot says that he only says that once you've done Kabbalat Adam. So there's a gap between the time of the Shkita and the Kabbalat Adam. So there is a point in time when the Shkita is not Ruiyah, because the Zrika Adam is not classified as if done. But then Tosafot says that even Rabbi Shimon later on seems to indicate that there are times where the Shkita is considered Shkita Ruiyah, even though you have to wait for Kabbalat Adam. So Tosafot then says that Yesh Lomar, the Davka Lachashiv Notar, Ochel Shata Yechol Achilo Lachrim, Itlay the Rabbi Oshaya Kizaruk Dami. So even though the Gemara seems to indicate later on that Kizaruk Dami is even at the point before Kabbalat Adam, nevertheless, Tosafot differentiates and says that's only the gabay that to make it ra'uy la'achila for the din of notar, is that true? But to make it as a shkita haru'yah in general, that we don't say kizaruk dami. And therefore he says kizaruk dami only has limited application and it does not apply in our case over here.
Although the Gemara and the Maskana will say that it is a shkita haru'yah, even according to Rabbi Shimon,
And that will then match up with the other Gemaras that believe it's Kizaruk Dami. And the problem over here is a problem of Atrat Safek. So now the Gemara says, Vil Nilke Nami Mishum Lav De Mechuser Zman. Why don't you get Malkot? According to the Chachamim, or according to the Mishnah, where the second individual is getting Malkot because he was in violation of Oto Ve'epino, Gemara wants to know, why isn't he also getting Malkot from Mechuser Zman, which is a failure in Kodoshim? She got two problems. One problem is Oto Ve'epino, get Malkot for it. The second problem is that you are doing something that is Mechuser Zman in Kodoshim, and that is subsumed under a separate lav, the Tanya. How do I know when anything is disqualified by shor v'seh that you get malkot for it? Talmud Omar, the pasuk says in Vayikra, shor v'seh sarua v'kalut, which are the mumim that disqualify an animal for the mizbeach. And the pasuk says, shor v'seh sarua v'kalut, in davat haseh utol neder lo yiratzeh. So that lo yiratzeh is going on the shor and seh. The Gemara, based on this bright, asks, Shor v'Seh over there were extraneous. You already started out the subject of Tzukim, a couple of Tzukim before, V'ish ki yakriv zevach shlamim l'Hashem, Baba Karu Batzon. You already have the subject of what's going on over here. Why does the Torah repeat Shor v'Seh? So the Gemara learns from that, L'imeda p'sulim sh'b'shor v'Seh, anything that is a disqualifier for Shor v'Seh, Shor v'lo yiratzeh, you're subject to the lav of lo yiratzeh. So not only should you be chayav malkot for oto ve'epino, when you have two animals of kodeshim that you brought to the mikdash, a parent and a child, and then you shechted one first, that's a kosher korban, you shecht the second one, it's pasul the gabei mizbeach, because it's mechuser zman. Well, it's pasul the gabei mizbeach, because it's mechuser zman. Not only should you be chayav for oto ve'epino in that case, you should be chayav because of lo yiratzeh. So why does he only get one set of malkot? He should get two sets of malkot. That's what it says. He doesn't even understand the Gemara's question over here. Lav shebichlalot is not subject to malkot. And lo yiratzeh is a lav shebichlalot. It's subsuming under it all these restrictions with regards to anything that's wrong in Kodoshim. So the Ramban answers this problem presented by the Tosafot, and he speaks about this also in his introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvot, which is that a lav shebichlalot is only not subject to malkot when you don't have a pirut, when you don't have a defined list of restrictions that are associated with it. The lav shebichlalot is not subject to malkot when it's not defined, the lav shebichlalot. But if the lav shebichlalot is defined, those things that are defined, you will get malkot for on the lav shebichlalot, even though other things that are subsumed, you will not get malkot for. And for that reason, the Gemara thinks that even though it's a lav shebichlalot, you will get malkot here, because these items are enumerated right alongside of this. The psukim deal with all the mumim that are there, and then immediately afterwards it deals with mechuser zman. So it's in this list of items that will be subject to lo yiratzeh. Gemara says, ki kochoshiv lave do'oto ve'epino. When it's counting the lavim, or the penalties over here, speaking about things that are deriving from the subject of the Mishnah, which is oto ve'epino. Lave nuchrai lo kochoshiv. It's not trying to add up all lavim. There are other lavim, but that's not relevant to oto ve'epino. So below, is that really true? So wait a minute. The Mishnah mentions that you get malkot for the fact that you were in violation of kodeshim b'chutz. So it does mention things besides oto ve'epino. The Ketani, because in the Mishnah it says kodeshim b'chutz arishon chayav karet u'shneim sufkim et arbayim. Bishlam asheni mishum d'lav d'oto ve'epino. The second one is getting it because of oto ve'epino. El arishon amai sufek. Why is the first one getting malkot? He did it before there was any problem with oto ve'epino. That's because of shkut echutz. If there you mentioned something else besides oto ve'epino, Mar says no problem. Whenever there's no oto ve'epino, choshim lav nuchrai. Then it adds up other lavim that you could possibly be in violation. But any time it mentions already that there's a violation of oto ve'epino, then it doesn't go out and count more lavim on top of it. And over here, by the second korban that you do, bifnim, it's in violation of Otobe Beno, so that's why you're chayav malkot. Eino chanami, you would also be chayav malkot below here at Seh. Mishnah doesn't mention it because it already mentioned Otobe Beno and it's done. It doesn't want to mention any other lavim besides Otobe Beno. In cases where there's no Otobe Beno, then it mentions to you the other lavim that you'd be in violation of. Rabbi Zera Amar, Rabbi Zera gives a different answer. Hanach, mechuser zman, da katuv nitzko le'aseh. Mechusar Zman is something that has an assay that can rectify it. By time up. How do you know that? I'm a crop. The Pasuk says, Miyom HaShmini B'Hala Yeratzeh. From the 8th day onwards, it's Yeratzeh. Miyom HaShmini. From the 8th day onwards, it's okay. Mi Karolo. Before that, it's no good. Lav Abal Miklal Asay. Asay. A lav that comes through an asay is classified as an asay. Now, this is a very difficult statement of the Gemara where it says it's a lav ani takla asay. Lav ani takla asay, the Gemara has two paradigmatic examples of that. One of them is notar. The notar, you're not allowed to leave over a korban past its expiry date. And the Torah says, if you leave over the notar past expiry date, vayish kisareif, you have to burn it. So therefore, the violation, the lav, is to leave it past expiry. If you do leave it past expiry, there's an asay that rectifies it. That is, you burn it. That is a lav hanitak asay. That's your classic lav hanitak asay. Another one is gazela. It says, v'yishivet gazela asher gazal. If you steal, you're in violation of the lav of lotigzol. But then, the Torah does it. If you do steal, v'yishivet gazela asher gazal. To rectify, you give back the gazela that you took. So that again is a lav hanitak asay. The lav is rectified by the assay. Over here, that's not the case. Over here, you have a lav and itak the assay, where the assay is not a rectifier of the lav. You're not allowed to bring the korban for the first 7 days. Then on the 8th day, yiratzeh. Then it's good on the 8th day and onwards. Well, if you brought it during the first 7 days, there's no way to rectify it by bringing it after the 8th day. They are discrete points in time. The assay is not a rectifier of the lotasay. So Rashi deals with this by expanding the view of what a lav anitak de'asei is. Rashi brings another paradigm where it's not a lav anitak de'asei, and that's shiluach hakein. By shiluach hakein, it says, shaleach t'shalech et ha'aim, that you should send away the mother bird. Over there, why don't we can say, lo tikach ha'aim ala banim, why don't we say that's a lav anitak de'asei? Don't take the aim ala banim. If you do, shaleach t'shalech et ha'aim. Over there, the Gemara says that shaleach tishalach, later on we'll see in the Masechta, is mi'ikara ne'amar. It means up front. You're supposed to be shaleach tishalach at the aim, and if you don't do that, then you're in violation of lotikai ha'aim alabanim. So over there, Rashi says, the reason it's not allowed in a takt say there is because shaleach tishalach mi'ikara goes back and is prior to the lav that's there. So Rashi says that the quintessential lav in a takt say, zela notar. The quintessential not lav anitak tasei is shiluach hakein. This case falls somewhere in between, and therefore Rashi says it's still classified as a lav anitak tasei. Which is, even though the assay is not rectifying the lav, the assay here can't be before the lav. The assay can't be like shaleach kishaleach haim, where the assay goes before the lav. That's what disqualifies it from being a anitak tasei. Over here, miyom ha-shmini v'hala can't go before the first 7 days where it's lo yiratzeh. And given that, it's a lav anitak tasei, because the assay comes subsequent to the lav. The assay follows the lav. And since the assay follows the lav, it's called a lav hanitak the assay. It's a lav that leads to an assay. The assay is not moved before the lav, like shiluach hakein. And the assay may not be like the assay of notar and gazelah, where it rectifies the lav, but still is an assay that follows a lav. And therefore Rashi calls it a lav hanitak the assay. The Tosafot, the Ramban, everybody takes issue with Rashi's explanation over here, and you can see the Tosafot begins, V'teima, the lo domi lenotar v'gzela. It's not like any other lav anitak de'asei we see anywhere else in Shas. And therefore, the Tosafot over here defines lav anitak de'asei not like the classic lav anitak de'asei that we find in Shas, but rather, he means halav nitka'o le'asei. The lav was converted into an asei. We have over here a lav of lo yiratzeh. The lava lo yiratzeh now has application to all things that are found in the tzukim around this area that are psulim in shor v'seh. One of those is mechusar zman. So you would think that mechusar zman is subject to that lava of lo yiratzeh. Along comes the pasuk at the end of mechusar zman, which Otov Ebeno is a subset of mechusar zman. We've already noted that from the juxtaposition of the psukim. And the pasuk by mechusar zman says, Shor kesem leiz kivalei vayashivat yamim takani mo umiyom eshmini v'hala yiratzei the korban yishei Hashem. From the 8th day onward, it is yiratzei. That's an assay. That assay comes to tell you, don't put this under the normal rubric of lo yiratzei. It has its own din. Its own din is That derives from that is that for the first 7 days, lo yiretze, it would not be ritzui. That is an Isser Aseh. An Isser Aseh is Nekdar Kaseh. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. The law of lo yiretze, that is generic to Kodeshim, in this specific instance was Nitkol Aseh, has its own particular Aseh that says, judge me by my own Aseh, don't include me under the lo yiretze, that is generic to Kodeshim. That's the way that he explains lav and it's called the asay. And another way to say this is that lo yiretze is a lav shebichlalot, and since it's a lav shebichlalot, it's not subject to a malkot. Now, the Gemara said before, lo yiretze should present malkot. So the answer is that things that are enumerated adjacent to lo yiretze, a lav shebichlalot, is subject to the din of malkot. That means that a lav shebichlalot that has a pirut of items that are there, those items will be subject to malkot. It's only items that are included in the lav shebichlalot that are not enumerated that are considered to be problematic or not get malkot. And that might be what Rabbi Zeira is saying here according to the Ramban, that really it is a lav shebichlalot. You get malkot for the things that are around it. But over here we have an Isser Aseh that's not an explicit lav, only an inferred lav from an Aseh. That's not going to be subsumed under the lav shebichlalot or the ability to get malkot under a lav shebichlalot. So the fact that it's an Isser Aseh instead of really a regular Isser lav means that it's not going to be subsumed under lo yiretzeh, and that's why you won't get malkot over here. And then the Gemara continues, wait a minute, can you really use the biyom hashmir al yiretzeh for this limud? Ami baile the Rabbi Yav Tariki. Don't you need it for the drush of Rabbi Yav Tariki? The Rabbi Yav Tariki, Rami Ktiv. Pasuk says, Vayashu Yadimim Tachad Imao, for 7 days it has to be by its mother. You can't bring it to Korban. Halayla Chazeh. That means after the 7 days have passed, the night afterwards, it's already Ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach. Uchtiv, then the next pasuk says, the end of the pasuk is, Miyom HaShmini V'Hala Yiretzeh. That means only Miyom HaShmini, only from the day of the 8th day, V'Hala, in Lailolo. The night before would not be Kasher. HaKeitzad. How do you reconcile that? Laila Lekdusha, Yom Nahartza'ah. The night you're allowed to be Makdish the animal. That's already in the world or the time period where it's Ra'oi to be Kodoshim. So you can be Makdish it on the night of the 8th day. Yom Nahartza'ah. But you can only put it on the Mizbeach on the 8th day itself because a Korban, first of all, can only be brought during the day. But also, it says that Yom HaShmini V'Hala. On the 8th day and onwards, it's Hartza'ah. Tiv Krachrina. Now, we have another pasuk for that. In Mishpatim, Shmot Chavet, Pasuk Chavet says, Kein Taseh Shorcha L'Tzonecha, Shivat Yamim Yeim Imo, B'Yom HaShmini Titnoli. So here you have an assay over there, of B'Yom HaShmini Titnoli. So the assay doesn't have to come from this pasuk over here, that you can use for Avrav Avtariki, but still, Rabbi Zeira says, the pasuk is Nitko the assay, because you have the assay in Mishpatim that says, that this has a din of assay, and not a din of a Lotase. Okay, we're going to stop here. 10 lines down on the top of Pe Aleph Amud Aleph.